In the weeks ahead, you'll learn more through video of some of the other good works that your Harvest Sunday offerings are going to support. So be in prayer about that. Get one of those brochures if you don't have one at home. I'm going to dismiss Power Kids at this time, and you can go to your special class. I also want all of our guests to know that at the end of our sermon, we want to give you a chance to be ministered to. A lot of people need prayer or just someone to hold their hand and give them some good biblical counsel. And if you'll go to what we call our family room, room 109, it's right across from the tables on the first floor of our atrium, our church leaders will be there to give that support to you. If you'd like to become a part of our church, you can also go there and learn how to do that. If today you are ready to name Jesus as Lord and Savior and to identify with His death and resurrection and be baptized, you can come down to the front. And when we stand and sing a song at the end of the sermon, I'll be down here and I'll help you do that. We're glad that you're here today because you are in for a treat. We have a guest speaker. His name is Dr. Jerry Taylor. Dr. Taylor teaches at Abilene Christian University. He grew up in Tennessee, graduated high school in 1980, went to Southwestern Christian College in Terrell, got his bachelor's degree, and then went on to study at SMU, where he received the master's and the doctorate degree in religious studies. He has preached for churches in Texas. In fact, he currently preaches for a congregation in Abilene, North Carolina, and in Georgia. It was in Georgia, where he was in inner city Atlanta working with people living in poverty, that he received the call from God to move to Abilene and began teaching in the Department of Bible at Abilene Christian University. Jerry is a good friend. One of the ways God is using Jerry is to be a mentor and encourager to a new generation of African-American preachers in churches of Christ to preach the gospel, to lift up the cross, and to believe that we're saved by grace. And he is doing amazing work there, and I'm very honored to know him as a friend and as a co-worker for the cause of Christ. He came to my rescue this week, and I really appreciate him for that. You are going to be blessed. Now, he said he was going to do a sermon called Alive to God, but he did a different sermon in the first service. He did Alive to God in the second service, and he's going to do a different sermon in this service. And all three of them are going to be great because the first two were awesome. You just need to get all the tapes of all the preaching that he has done. We are also delighted that his family could be with us in this service. His wife and his two children are here. This is their first service to be with us. They love him to death, but they don't want to hear him preach three times in a day, just like my family. But we are honored that they could be among us. Well, you are going to be blessed by this man because he loves God, he loves the Word, he loves the church, and God pours Himself out through him, as you are about to see. Let's give a Richland Hills welcome to Dr. Jerry Taylor.
I am so grateful to God our Father for giving me the privilege and the opportunity to be in fellowship with you here on today and to be in fellowship with a good friend of mine, Brother Rick Atchley. And I'm so thankful for his commitment to really implementing the vision that Christ has for the church. That we would not simply claim the oneness of the church without actually being one in the church. And I'm so thankful for his courage to be willing to do and say what God would have him to do and say, and that the walls that have been erected, that they would be brought low, brought down by the power of the love of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to have my wife and my two children with me today and my co-laborers in the gospel of Jesus. And I could not be standing here before you today if it were not for the wonderful blessings that God has given to me in the form of my wife and two children. I want to speak to you from Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 12 and ending with verse 27. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 27. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. But if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. But the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. God's will. Not my will, but God's will. The sinful nature is on the campaign trail all across the world, seeking the vote of every soul. Needless to say, the sinful nature runs a dirty campaign. The sinful nature is hateful, it is divisive, it is deceptive, it is vindictive, it is violent, it is coercive, it is callous, it is rude, it is manipulative, it is uncivil, and the sinful nature is mean-spirited. The sinful nature bombards us with its negative campaign ads by whispering faint subliminal suggestions into the ears of our minds. These seductive ads have caused many of the undecided to become weak-willed and incapable of resisting the influential charm of the sinful nature. Many fail to look beyond the attractive lips of the sinful nature to see its twisted tongue that so eloquently distorts the truth. This charming seducer causes the moral collapse of many unsuspecting men and women all across our nation and all across our world. No matter what the opinion polls say about the suitability of the sinful nature as a candidate, the sinful nature should never be voted into the most powerful position in a person's life. The sinful nature does not deserve any vote of confidence. By voting for the sinful nature, one is voting against one's own liberty, and one is voting against one's own freedom in Christ. By voting for the sinful nature, one is obligating himself to a spirit of lawlessness and is fully endorsing the degradation and the deregulation of the immoral misdeeds of the body. Paul says the consequence of voting for the sinful nature is death. He says, if you live according to the will of the sinful nature, you will die. Not you may die, but you will die. Your vote of devotion to the sinful nature will bring about moral and spiritual death. It will cause you to experience death in your mind, death in your spirit, death in your soul, death in your morality, death in your attitude, death in your holiness. The sinful nature turns us into walking cemeteries, releasing the foul stench of spiritual and moral decay. But the good news is that we are no longer obligated to the sinful nature anymore. We cast our vote for Jesus, who is our rock and our redeemer. It is by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that the sinful nature is defeated in the voting booth of our heart. Let us open our eyes of understanding and see the effective activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit gives us divine sonship through Christ. The Holy Spirit puts in us the heart of Jesus. And we now see the Father through the loving eyes of His dear Son. And when we reach out to touch the Father, it is the hand of Jesus that the Father feels. And we now draw near to the throne of God as His children without fear of His divine judgment. Fear has been cast out of our hearts because the perfect love of Jesus for the Father is in us. As children of God, we are no longer enslaved by a spirit of fear. Since the spirit of sonship is in us, we can now walk with a humble yet confident stride, knowing that the Father is well pleased with His Son, Jesus, who actually lives in us. The sinful nature despises the sacred work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The sinful nature serves as the prosecuting attorney that brings charges against God's children in the courtroom of holiness. We are not afraid of the charges brought against us because through Jesus we know that the judge that is sitting on the throne of judgment is now our daddy. And we tightly hold to the conviction in our hand that despite the incriminating evidence stacked against us, because of Jesus, our daddy will rule in our favor. Through Jesus, we have thrown ourselves upon the mercy of the court. The sinful nature wants to see God's children get the death penalty. However, instead of us receiving a death sentence, we have now received a life sentence. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Though we are reminded of our flaws, though we are reminded of our shortcomings, though we are reminded of our imperfections, our weaknesses, our failures, thank God for the Holy Spirit who bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Though we are flawed, we are still God's children. Though we are weak, we are still God's children. Though we are weary and worn, we are still God's children. Though we get depressed and stressed every now and then, we are still God's children. Though we walk through the valley of confusion, we are still God's children. Even though we are surrounded by the spirit of loneliness, we are still God's children. And though we are imperfect and we are wounded in every form, we still hear the Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And yes, we are part of a church that is imperfect. The church is both human and divine, and the human part of the church is still flawed. It is still imperfect. It still has some problems. Help me, somebody. But I'm not focusing on the weaknesses of the church. I'm looking at the vision that Christ has for the church. And somehow, and some way, the Lord is going to get us to where He wants us to be as His church. And the greatest compliment that could be paid to any of us is to be called a child of God. I'm so glad that before I'm anything else, I am a child of the King. I am a child of God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, He bears witness with my soul that though I'm called everything under heaven but a child of God, I know that deep within my spirit, as the Holy Spirit witnesses with my spirit, that I am a child of God. And before we are anything else, we are children of God. We are children of God before we are rich or before we can be classified as poor. We are children of God. We are children of God before we are male or female. We are children of God. We are children of God before we are Democrat or Republican. Help me, somebody. We are children of God. And even in the church, we are children of God even before we are categorized or classified as conservative, moderate, or liberal. We are the children of God before we are this culture or that culture. We are the children of God before we are black, white, red, or yellow, brown. We are the children of God before we are anything else. And praise God that the spirit of sonship has replaced the spirit of fear. The spirit of sonship has replaced the spirit of separation. The spirit of sonship has replaced the spirit of hatred. The spirit of sonship has replaced the spirit of animosity. The spirit of sonship has replaced the spirit of hostility. It has replaced the spirit of revenge. It has replaced the spirit of retaliation. And now we have the spirit of Christ crying out in our hearts to God, Abba, Abba, Daddy, Daddy. Paul still says, according to the ministry of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, we no longer regard one another from a human point of view. As Christians, we realize that we all share the same daddy. As Christians, we no longer put confidence in the color of our flesh, but we put our confidence in the color of the blood that Jesus shed to make us all brothers and sisters in the same household of faith. Because we are the sons and daughters of God and members of the same family, the spirit of sonship makes us unafraid to allow our spirits to salute one another with the holy kiss and to allow our souls to hug one another with the holy embrace. We are the children of God, a brand new creation, not confined by barriers, lines, and boundaries created by the sinful nature. As God's brand new creation, we are also destined to have a profound impact on the natural creation and on the natural environment in which we exist. Paul lets us know that the spirit of sonship that is in God's children will be revealed before all creation at the appointed time. The natural creation sits in the waiting room, eager expectation for the full term delivery of God's children. Right now, the creation is frustrated. It seems as though the delivery date is past due for the children of God to be revealed. The creation is in mourning and is in groaning as in the pains of childbirth up to this present time, according to verse 22 of our text. All of creation is negatively impacted by all of the long-standing grudges between nations and peoples. The refusal of people to become the children of God is the very thing that prevents the world from becoming a haven of peace and love and compassion. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." The land must weep when it is forced to drink the blood of thousands who killed one another in an attempt to possess the land. The air must weep when it is used to float poisonous gases as a means of killing thousands of innocent victims. The water must weep when poison toxins are released into the water streams from which little children drink to the detriment of their survival. Paul says in verse 23 that we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. We are filled with the hope that, as verse 21 says, that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Though we are surrounded by chaos, confusion on every side, there is hope in Christ. We will walk in hope. Though we hear the lament of the weeping willows and feel the teary sap fall from the trees of oppression, we will walk in hope. Though the cheeks of hope are bruised by the violent fist of discouragement on every hand, we, as the children of God, will walk in hope. Though our legs are weary from the journey and our feet are swollen from marching for righteousness, we as God's children will continue to walk in hope. Though our tender eyes must look upon the ugly face of violence all over the world, as God's children, we will continue to walk in hope. Though at times we are surrounded by unbearable brokenness, racial and religious divisions on every side, we as God's children will continue to walk in hope. Sometimes we are discouraged by our own weaknesses and by our own failures, but regardless of that, as God's children, we will continue to walk in hope. Sometimes we don't even know what to pray for in the midst of our suffering creation. But nevertheless, as God's children, we will continue to walk in hope. Because the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The Holy Spirit will serve as the midwife to bring to full term delivery the bundle of hope that we as God's children carry within the womb of our heart. We will continue to walk in hope. Though we look around ourselves and we see so much that we can complain about in the church, and we can look all around in our society and see so many things that we could gripe about, we could complain about. But the children of God, we do not walk in a spirit of fear. We do not walk in the spirit of defeat. The kingdom of God shall defeat the kingdom of evil, and God shall reign eternally. And Satan would love for us to draw the false conclusion that Satan is winning this battle. I'm here to tell you the battle has already been fought and the victory has already been won. God reigns supreme. And because we walk in hope, we don't look at how things are. We look at how things shall become. We walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. And regardless of who will give their veto against the walk of faith, God's will is going to be implemented whether we like it or not. And so as we pray that prayer, Father, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and the scripture would respond by saying the appointed time is set when every tongue shall confess and every knee must bow and acknowledge the sovereignty and the kingship of our Lord. And because of that, we are able to keep marching forward even when we look around ourselves and see things that are the way they are, and the way they are should not be the way they should be, but we're still able to walk in hope because we're not walking according to our will, we are walking according to His will. And I believe that at North Richland Hills that you're going to keep on walking in hope because you're not walking according to your will, you're walking according to His will. And I believe that as you continue to walk in hope and you continue to be a light in the midst of a dark world, God is going to continue to pour His resources into this congregation, that you can continue to be a light, a city that sets on a hill that will be an example for all to see and to know that God still rules and He still super rules and He's still sitting on His throne. And because of that, I believe that you're going to reach your goal of $1,257,000. I believe you're going to reach that because you're walking not in your will, but you're walking in the will of God, and you want God to use you as a congregation to be a positive impact in the midst of a negative world. And my prayers will be with you as God continues to use you and to work through you in anointing this church and this ministry. And as I pray for your minister and the shepherds of this flock, may God continue to let the world around you see the sonship of Christ reflecting its glory in and through you. And I solicit your prayers for me and my wife and family and my children and for the church with which I work, that God will use us to His glory and to His honor. That it will not be about us, not about our will, but it will be about His will. And when we are wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in the will of God, we're able to love folk that we don't like. Amen. Amen. Able to do good by those who do us wrong. Able to forgive. Able to reach beyond our comfort zone. Able to do some amazing things that we could not do within our own power and our own strength, only by the power of God's Holy Spirit operating in us and making effective the life of Christ as He lives it in and through us. So that we too will pray with Jesus, Father, let this cup pass from me, I pray, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're not a follower, you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ, we want to invite you to become a disciple of Jesus Christ today by being willing to be baptized, to identify with the death of Jesus as well as with the resurrection of Christ. That when you're raised from the watery grave, you can now walk in the newness of life. You will have become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And then you will be able to live not according to your will, but according to the will of the Father. And that you will then one day be able to join in the universal celebration of all creation when the children of God, the sons and daughters of God, will be revealed before all of creation. That is a wonderful thing to participate in. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we encourage you to come right now as we stand.
I will never be the same again. I can never return. I've closed the door. I will walk the path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again. Fall like fire. Soak like rain. Flow like mighty waters again and again. Sweep away the darkness. Burn away the chaff. And let a flame burn to glorify your name. I will never be the same again. I can never return. I close the door. I will walk the path. I'll run the same again. Fall like fire, soak like rain, flow like mighty waters again and again. Sweep away the darkness, burn away the chaff, and let a flame burn to glorify your name. Fall like fire, soak like rain, flow like mighty waters again and again. Sweep away the darkness, burn away the chaff, and let a flame burn to glorify your name. There are higher heights. There are deeper seas. Whatever you need to do, Lord, do in me. The glory of God fills my life, and I will never be the same again. And I will never be the same again.
Thank you, church. Remain standing for just a moment. You see a number of people coming forward. They are the family and the friends of three who want to confess Jesus today. Hillary Porter and Christine and Caitlin Harrison want to be baptized. And we're going to witness their good confession in just a moment. While we're standing, let's sing the great hymn, Amazing Grace. And then we'll witness their baptisms.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The I first believed. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when
Church, this is Christine Harrison and her daughter Caitlin, and have had the privilege of being with Christine and Caitlin for several weeks now. And Christine came from a Lutheran background, went into Mormonism for a while, and none of that satisfied her. She just knew and understood that there was an emptiness in her heart and in her life, a God hole that only that something needed to fill that wasn't being filled by her other pursuits. She has been so teachable, so hungry for the Word of God, and her little girl, Caitlin, has absolutely responded in the same way as we sat down and taught her. Christine, I want you to know this is an absolute before and after day. What has happened and up to this point of time is about to be erased in the heart and mind of God. It's going to be gone. And what is about to begin is going to be the life that God always intended for you to have. You're putting Him on. And putting Him on, you receive all the righteousness and all the grace that is His and only His to be able to extend to you. And I praise God, Christine, that you have made this choice and that you are making the choice to be His disciple, a lifelong disciple. So I want to ask you this question. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son?
Yes, I do.
And do you want Him to be the King of your life from this day forward?
Yes, I do.
God bless you. Because you love Jesus, Christine, because you want to be His, now and forevermore. You're now being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of every sin, and so you might receive the gift of God's Spirit. Hold your knees. Take a breath. Hold your knees. Caitlin, this is... As we talked, this is not just a little girl's decision. This is a mature girl's decision. This is a decision that is one that will be and is the most important one that will ever be. This is, in fact, this choice is what is going to define you for the rest of your life. Who you are becoming, whose you are becoming, is what's going to define you. It's going to you're going to wear His name from now on. Jesus Christ is going to be the name that you're going to wear. And you're going to live for Him. That's what He wants you to do, bring honor and glory to Him. And I believe that as you grow up, you're going to bring many, many others to Jesus. And that's what you must always strive to do. So when I ask you this question, sweetie, do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is God's Son?
Yes.
And do you want Him to be the King of your life and follow Him all of your days? I know you do. God bless you, Caitlin. Because you love Jesus and want to be His, you're now being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of every sin, and so you might receive the gift of God's Spirit. Hold your nose. Take a breath. God bless you, honey.
Church, this is Hillary Porter, and this is her big sister, Maggie, who is very important in her life, and she's asked to be here because part of the reason Hillary is here is because of her big sister's influence and example. And Maggie, it's going to be important that you continue to set that example and live the life alongside of Hillary. Hillary, we're fired up that you're here. All your friends are here, and glad to hear your announcement. Hillary's got a birthday coming up next week. But her main birthday is about to happen right now. So, Hillary, I've got a very important question to ask you. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
I do.
And, Hillary, right now, starting today at this moment, are you ready to live your life for Him?
Yes.
And as we were told this morning, Hillary, we're going to bury your old self in this water, and you're going to come up alive in Christ. Jesus Christ will be living in you. It's because of your confession that we're going to baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins so that you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
We love you with the love of the Lord. We love you with the love of the Lord. We see in you the glory of our King, and we love you with the love of the Lord.
It's been good to be here today. It's going to be good to be here at Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for the summit. Make that a part of your spiritual diet. Don't forget to get your tickets for the Song of Solomon conference. Don't forget to be praying and fasting and getting prepared for Harvest Sunday. It's just 3 weeks away. I think I'd like Dr. Taylor to come back and see us sometime, wouldn't you? Thank you, brother. He preached 3 different lessons today, and they were all taped, so be sure and get all 3, and you will be blessed. We pray travel mercies for he and his family as they go back to Abilene. We also pray for the hundreds of our members who were in Abilene this weekend for homecoming activities, that they will return to us safely. Please pass your attendance cards to the aisles. Could I get some help picking those up? And to our guests, we are so thankful you've come. We'd like to give you a packet that tells you about our church and give you a Bible to take home. If you'll take your purple card to the Welcome Center, we'd be honored to do that. And now, if you would, let's stand for closing prayer. Father, the evil one is such a good bluffer. The sinful nature is always pretending that he's won the election. But we know better. We know that we are your children. And we know that no matter how things sometimes look, that the victory has been won. So help us to walk this week in hope. And when anybody asks us a reason for the hope that we have, help us to give an answer and point someone to Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.